This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now a look at the on-ground challenges faced by the homeless community.
This is coming about because of a specific statement, right? This happened on Wednesday, where Deputy Federal Territories Minister Dato' Sri Jalaluddin Alia said that 20% of rescued homeless people in Kuala Lumpur eventually returned to the streets, some the very next day. Now, I think it's not particularly clear to me what rescued means, which is something we can get into later. But the Brow MP Stephen Chung also suggested that some homeless people return to the streets because they prefer to get free handouts offered by volunteers from NGOs. He pointed out also that there were about 700 to 900 homeless people living on the streets in KL, and that those who are rescued were temporarily living in shelters without charges and provided meals at transit homes, and that they were taught and trained, which would allow them, in some ways, to tie up to our earlier show, to gain employment.
So I think this is something worth talking about, but I think also when people make statements about, you know, they return to the streets, they would prefer to take handouts, I think those are remarks that need to be made with a fair amount of care. Because when we talk about the homeless community, there are multiple factors and reasons why they basically end up in that situation, why they might make the choices they make, why they may not be amenable to the resources that are offered to them. And to blanket it all with these statements can often overlook the real issues that are happening, right? So we are going to discuss this further with Dato' Munira Abdul Hamid, who is the founder of Pertiwi Soup Kitchen, very shortly. But we'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now on the line, Dato' Munira Abdul Hamid, founder of the Pertiwi Soup Kitchen. Dato' Munira, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
So, Deputy Federal Territories Minister said that almost 20% of homeless people who are rescued in KL end up on the streets again. Firstly, let's talk about the terminology used here, right? What does it mean for a homeless person to be rescued?
Well, rescued, you can't say that you have, detained them or whatever. You have not, because they want, it is sort of a mutual agreement. We say, would you like to be helped? You know, and then if they want to, that's all right. But if they say, no, I don't want to be helped, and then you cannot force them to stay. So it is on a willing basis, you know. So that's where rescued means that they would like to try and stay and hopefully try to find a job and maybe try to change. So it is a rescue operation. It's correctly used, actually.
Part of that rescue is being provided space in a shelter, right? So when that happens, how long are they allowed to be there?
Well, when previously, so years ago, yeah, when we started the rescue operations years ago, before COVID even, it was, we used to do with DBKL and the ministries and other agencies as well. And we would, if you want to use the word roundup, it's not nice. Some of them would say roundup. But after that, we would screen them, provide meals and all that. And if they say, no, I don't want to stay, then we have to let them go. But some of them say, we would like to try. So that is the thing. We allow them to try. Now, during COVID, it was we did a rescue operation during MCO where most of them were rescued and placed. We had, I think, at the most, I can't remember how many shelters, but there were many in different places. And according to categories of similar cases, they were placed together. And towards the end, when it was the MCO, some of the shelters were shut down. And then after that, some of the others wanted to move on and stay in other places, and we allowed. It's always about listening to what they want. So now if you say that 80% were rescued, 20% have returned to the streets, but 80% have moved on, you see? So don't dwell on the negative. Why dwell on the 20%? You can't always have 100%, yeah? Because we're dealing with people who have their own preferences. some of them say, I don't like house rules, for example. So they prefer to have that freedom. Now, if you come here to Medan Tuanku, where I am now, there's some of them, DPKL has provided also just sort of temporary sleeping arrangement. They've got stretcher beds. And we provide supper for them. So it is for about 30 to 50 of them, depending on the night. Some of them may come and say, no, I'm not coming for the next night. So they don't have, it's very minimal households. So some of these people have odd jobs, but not stable jobs. Some may come and go back to the kampongs and then come back. So some also, the ones, 20% who return to the street, some of them have mental illness as well. So don't forget all the different problems which they have.
Now, what kind of support is provided in terms of employment and long-term housing for these communities when they are rescued?
Only when they're ready. Some of them, when they're ready, they will stay at... we've got a few places, like the one in Pusat Tasik Ladaga Dalam Pahang. Some of them may have jobs, and if they are able to hold on their jobs for a few months, they move on to a different type of arrangement, which is rooms, a flat, DBKL flat again, where they share probably 4 or 6 of them in a flat, and they contribute, if I'm not mistaken, it's 10 ringgit for the month. You know, it's just to make them feel that they're contributing something, yeah? Some may want to have their own room somewhere in the city, and then once they have a job. So they may try to get some assistance from some government agency. Some the employer may provide hostel and things like that. So they move on to a different kind of independence. But some may fall back. They may fall back. So I see, over the years, I've seen some of them coming back. You know, and then after they move, they try again. It is not easy to get up and out, which is why we're here sort of assisting them. You know, try to motivate them to get up and out. And it's not easy. COVID hasn't made it any easier.
So you mentioned a couple of them, but I thought we could hone in a little bit more. What are some of the reasons why a homeless person might return to the streets after being rescued?
One of the things is as I said, they don't like house rules. You know, they say house rules, you have to come back. And then some of them say, I don't have my own locker. And it's just, I suppose, incompatibility, probably. And then it's not what they want to do. Now, we've got also at Anjung Kelana, where it was started by the former Menteri Wilayah. That was to train them to do urban farming. Not many are there. Some are not interested in doing urban farming. But the ones who are interested are still there. And we are hoping that there'll be employers who are doing urban farming who will come and recruit them. You know, it's not easy to say, you know, with one attempt that you find the solution. We've been doing this over and over and over again. Some get up and out, yes, but some return.
Now, the Brow MP Stephen Chung has suggested that they return to the streets as they prefer to get free handouts from NGOs. How would you respond to that statement?
Well, not just the homeless. This is even the urban poor freeloaders do that. In fact, some of the ones that we think are homeless, they're not. They are the ones who actually have rooms in the city. But they wait for handouts, which if they don't need, they will sell them. Yeah. So we've been trying to tell the Good Samaritans and the ad hoc groups, don't give, don't duplicate. This Ramadan is going to be madness, I'm telling you. Previously, before COVID, it was crazy. A homeless person can get even up to 20 or 30 packets of food. And then you can give a homeless, 40 toothbrushes and they don't even have teeth. It's one of those things, you know, you think, oh, they need this, and you go and give. And then at the end of the day, of course, they just go and sell them, and it's that sort of thing. So if you're trying to help, you've got to understand what it is you've got to do. We were promoting the buddy system previously, where you actually, if you want, you just get close to a few of them and see them through, you know, keep on motivating them, because these are people who have fallen through the cracks for generations. you know, families who've been like that for a long time, and to them, to believe that they can succeed is really, it's going to take a lot of hard work.
Looking at the situation right now, right, especially with Ramadan approaching, what kinds of assistance are most needed by this community?
They don't need food. There's too much food. This Alam Flora is going to be so busy just making sure, you know, all the food, the excess food is just will end up in the bins and thrown away. It's a shame. We keep telling people, do not give more food. But they will turn around and say, no, they want to give food. If you wait by the roadside, you can see convoys of cars coming almost every half an hour. It's ridiculous.
Dr. Monira, we have about a minute left. And in the long term, if the goal is to keep people from living on the streets, what are the gaps that need to be filled to make that happen?
There will always be people who prefer that lifestyle. You know, when I was five, when I was feeding homeless people in Alostar, and I'm 71 now, okay? So there will always be people who prefer that lifestyle, yeah? And we cannot say, you know, unless it's a law to say that it is an offence to sleep out there, there isn't. Yeah, the Destitute Persons Act does not cover the homeless in that category, okay? So we will just have to get close to them, understand them, and sort of encourage them to do it differently. If you want freedom, perhaps we have different kind of shelters.
Dr. Munira, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Datuk Munira Abdul Hamid, founder of Pertiwi Soup Kitchen, speaking to us about the homeless community and really what their most urgent needs are. Let us know, what are your thoughts on this? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.